Hello and welcome. My name is Freed and you are listening to Where's the Popcorn? If you are new to this segment, that's when I take the 100 greatest movies of all time, as per the Internet Movie Database, put 1 through 100 in a random number generator and watch the movie that was given to me. This time was number 37, 1998's Saving Private Ryan. This World War II epic was directed by Steven Spielberg with music by John Williams himself. Every head must bow, every tongue must confess, John Williams is the GOAT. We have Tom Hanks, Matt Damon, Vin Diesel, Tom Sizemore, rest in peace buddy, Barry Pepper, Adam Goldberg, and Giovanni Ribisi with some smaller cameos by Ted Danson, Nathan Fillion, Paul Giamatti, Bryan Cranston, and Dennis Farina. Rest in peace, Cousin Avi. Some fun casting facts. Neil Patrick Harris was actually considered for the role of Private Ryan that was ultimately given to Matt Damon, which would have been pretty interesting if you think about it. I mean, have you seen Starship Troopers? They also asked Ed Norton, but he turned it down because he was busy practicing his curb stomp for American History X. And I don't know about you, but the sound of that man's teeth scraping on the concrete in that scene is forever embedded in my head. I will never forget that noise. Also, a couple actors considered for Hanks' role were Harrison Ford and Mel Gibson. They both would have done a great job, in my opinion. I mean, the scene in The Patriot where Mel Gibson's son, Heath Ledger, dies is some of the best acting I've ever seen. Ooh, I hope that didn't spoil anything. My bad. Another fun anecdote, which I think is actually common knowledge now, is that Mr. Spielberg wanted the main cast to actually go through a military boot camp, all except for Matt Damon. This is because he thought that this would build actual animosity towards Matt Damon and have that kind of translate over or spill over, if you will, onto the character of Private Ryan. I think it worked. This film was nominated for 11 Oscar awards and won 5 for Best Director, Best Cinematography, Best Sound, Best Film Editing, and this was actually the last film to win this award using traditional editing technique, meaning non-digital editing methods. And it won for Best Effects and Sound Effects Editing. It actually lost Best Picture that year to Shakespeare in Love, and the Library of Congress put it into its National Film Registry in 2014. Another interesting thing to note is that Tom Hanks and Mr. Spielberg took the minimum salary while agreeing to a cut of the earnings, which equated to about 35 cents onto every dollar that the movie made, which is $482.3 million just on the box office alone. So, do the math. I did. That's about $169 million each. All right, enough foreplay. Let's nutshell this movie, shall we? Action. We open on an older gentleman walking with his family, and he is walking ever so slightly ahead of them, quite possibly to hide his face and subsequent tears. It is then revealed that we are walking through a military cemetery, presumably Arlington, and while we have yet to be introduced to this man, we ascertain through his facial expression and body language that he has just been reunited with his brothers in arms. Overwhelmed by emotion, the man falls to his knees and we get a zoom-in close-up that transitions to a beach in Normandy, France in the year 1944. This, of course, setting us up for one of, if not the most, iconic sequences of scenes in any movie, let alone a war movie. Of course, I'm referring to the scenes depicting the Allied invasion of Omaha Beach. Now, we could spend a lot of time breaking these scenes down, like how they used 40 barrels of fake blood or how it was shot in Ireland because France said no, and how actual amputees were used for the dismemberment bits, but that would A, take away from the first-time experience, and B, possibly distract you from the realism that is in front of you, which is what Mr. Spielberg's main purpose was. The scenes were visually perfect, aside from a few laws of physics bent for dramatic effect, and any Mythbusters fans out there? Anywho. Here we also first see Tom Hanks playing Captain Miller, and we automatically assume that the elderly gentleman from earlier is now flashing back to this very moment. He calmly reminds his troops of their basic tasks, and then, wow, I'm not going to say any more, just let the movie roll. Once the battle was won, we are given the same zoom-in close-up on Mr. Hanks, reinforcing the idea that the older man from earlier is post-war Captain Miller. Next, we get a montage of scenes showing us the magnitude of what just went down while also planting the seed for the main plot line. Now, I know I can be hyperbolic when trying to describe things that I think are great, sometimes resulting in a sense of disappointment when a person sees or tries those things for themselves, but these opening scenes, I'm telling you, they will not let you down. During the aforementioned montage, we get voiceovers of letters being read. Letters that have been sent to the civilian families of the soldiers lost or killed in the war. We see the women whose duty it was to write these letters, and we get a sense of juxtaposition with the words being said not matching the desensitized assembly line-like structure of the offices. It is here, however, when one of the letter writers has an observation that she feels needs attention from the brass. Four brothers with a surname Ryan have enlisted in active service, and three of them have been killed in action. Their mothers will be receiving all three letters informing her of their demise on the same day. This was actually taken from a true life story about the Nylon brothers, which is actually a really cool story. I suggest you check it out after this. What comes next is the story of a company of soldiers given orders to find the fourth and last Ryan. This is also where I leave you to hit play for yourself. I feel like I've turned over enough stones, although another fun fact that I'd hate to leave out is later on in the movie, Matt Damon's character shares an anecdote about his family and their shenanigans in a barn. That was all totally ad-libbed by Matt Damon. Cool stuff. Now is the segment where I give you my opinion on this flick, and I gotta tell you, if you haven't figured it out already, I absolutely positively love this movie. And this has been in my top 10 for as long as I can remember. And I actually have a memory of buying this for my father for Christmas years ago. And it came on two VHS tapes. Might be dating myself there. The realism, the cinematography, the acting, the scale, the lighting. I could go on forever. And this flick embodies the definition of the word masterpiece. For me, this movie gets a 9.5 out of 10, and the reason that it didn't get a perfect 10 is because this kind of movie isn't for everyone. Being a very accurate war movie, so says interviews with the veterans that were there, with violent death, dismemberment, and a level of loss that very few can even imagine, I can see how a certain part of the population would avoid a movie like this. This is one of those movies that I rewatch every other year just because it's that good. I mean, this movie is so good that upon learning that it lost Best Picture to Shakespeare in Love, I immediately found a copy of Shakespeare in Love to watch because this movie must be an absolute knockout to win over such an epic film like Saving Private Ryan. But I haven't watched it yet, though, so we shall see, Gwyneth. We shall see. All right, that is my rundown on number 37 of IMDb's Greatest Films of All Time list, Saving Private Ryan. I hope you enjoyed it, and we will see you on the next one.
Tuning into this episode, proudly presented by the APNM Group, a subsidiary of Alja Productions, LLC. We strive to produce content that informs, entertains, and adds value to your day. We value your input and would be delighted to hear your thoughts in the comments about this episode. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions, please engage with us in the comments section or via our social media platforms. Your feedback helps us shape our content and uncover new topics that matter to our listeners. If this episode resonated with you, we kindly ask that you rate and review this show on your preferred podcast platform. Sharing this podcast with friends and family helps us reach more listeners and continue delivering content you enjoy. For more information about the podcast, the host, or our parent company, please visit the link in this episode's description. Also visit us on YouTube and Rumble to see and hear every content produced by Alja Productions. Thank you once again for your time and support. Until next time, stay tuned and stay inspired.